Wow, it's day 6 already. This will take us to the halfway point of our course. Today is lesson 6, and we are going to talk about reverence and humility. We see in the scriptures that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But have you ever wondered, what exactly is the fear of the Lord and how do I get it? Take a moment and think about a time when you were really afraid. What caused you to fear? What was the outcome? What happened the next time you faced a similar situation? I remember a time when my husband and I were afraid that we might lose our house. Now, God provided miraculously. In fact, He turned everything around 10 minutes even after the bank's deadline, which told us that the banks were not in control. God was in control and man's deadlines bow to Him. So now when similar circumstances arise, we go back and we recount what God did for us, and it reminds us that He is our provider, not man. My husband, Robert, had a kidney transplant in 2013, and I remember early on when his kidney numbers were failing. I couldn't sleep. I went out in the living room, you know, to wrestle with myself and God, and an overwhelming fear came over me as I realized that Robert might die and I would be left alone. Honestly, it was almost too much for me. I had faced the possibility of my own death years before, and the Lord had given me His peace, and that stayed with me throughout the years. But the idea of losing Robert required that I grow into a totally different kind of faith. God told me that I had to begin to accept everything as from His hand for my good and for His glory. Submitting to God is a choice, and it is always because He has shown Himself trustworthy that we finally submit. There's a huge difference between humility and humiliation. To fear implies a perception of evil intent or action, and it carries with it an aspect of humiliation. Trust that comes from humility, on the other hand, rests on the knowledge that the person you're trusting has your best interest at heart, that they are true to their word and trustworthy and have the ability to do what they say they're going to do. While you recognize their position of power, there's no fear because you trust that they will not harm you. Well, man can't always do what he says he's going to do, no matter how much he wants to, but God can and will and always does show His love for us. The Bible says that true love casts out all fear. Fear of man or circumstances really comes from the same place as the fear of God. Fear of God, according to Strong's, is moral reverence. Merriam-Webster says that reverence is respect or esteem, honor, or deference. It is this construct of deference that joins the ideas of fear and reverence. When we pay honor or defer to someone, it's because we believe in some respect they are more and we are less. This might be by virtue of their position. Think about the president of a company or a country. It could be by virtue of an exceptional quality or ability, such as a noted Bible scholar or a sports figure or a movie star. I know I was totally intimidated by academic scholars, and I felt inferior to my professors. Sometimes we fear a person because they actually have the ability to harm us, and so we defer to them to avoid punishment. Why does God deserve our reverence, or what many call holy fear? By virtue of His position as sovereign King of the universe? By virtue of His power exhibited in His creation of the universe? By virtue of the fact that He is the sustainer of all life? Where the fear of man or circumstances differ from a healthy fear of God is in the moral component. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines moral as of or relating to right and wrong behavior. The scriptural uses of the word righteousness and sin are similar in connotation. Righteousness is tending to the right hand. Sin is missing the mark or veering off the path. But Jesus tells us right and wrong behaviors begin in our heart, and they're a product of our thoughts. Jesus said that if a man even looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery already. If we call a person an idiot, we've committed murder. So when we look at God, we examine his thoughts toward man. And Scripture tells us God is always and only good. His thoughts, his ways, are always righteous. They never veer off the path. And because he is always good, we can know that he holds our life in his hands, and we don't have to be afraid that he's going to snap his fingers and take our life away arbitrarily, like Thanos, if you saw the movie. We know his thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So when we encounter evil or hardships, we can know God's only allowed it for our good and his glory, because he tells us over and over of his great love for us. And we know he has our best interest at heart. We know that God is sovereign. He's able to do what he says he will do. He's the king of all kings, the Lord of all lords. So if we walk in his ways, we don't have to fear even man. Because what can mere man do to me? If God is for me, who can be against me? Before I received Christ Jesus into my life, I was afraid of God. I knew I was sinful, and I didn't know that he loved me. I think I thought of, that he's kind of good, but I didn't understand that everything he does is good. Once we're transformed, our fear of God changes to awe as he begins to reveal himself to us. We're in awe of his purity, his holiness, righteousness, goodness, kindness, power. For me, the most profound example of humility is found in Philippians 2. It shows us that the decisions that Jesus Christ made to place himself in a position below not only human beings, but also below the spiritual force of death, as well as below the constructs of man of what constitutes eternalness. Death on a cross was considered by the Jews to be an abomination, and a person's existence represented in their name was considered wiped out as if they never existed if they had death on a cross. Have you seen examples of what reverence looks like in Scripture? Let's take a look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. The angel Gabriel came to her to tell her she'd have a baby, but she wasn't married. It was shameful in her day to be pregnant out of wedlock. Not only that, but the law actually called for her to be stoned to death. She didn't know at first if Joseph would stay with her or leave her. She only knew that God sent an angel to her, and her response tells us of her deep reverence for God. She says, "Let it be done to me as you have spoken." One of my favorite examples is Esther when she goes to King Xerxes to plead for her people. In her request, she says, "If it pleases the king, if he thinks it's the right thing to do, if I have found favor in his eyes, and if I am pleasing to the king." Her words indicate she understands his position of leadership and authority. She recognizes that he has an overall plan for his kingdom and his reign, and that he is sovereign. She also recognizes that his evaluation of her motives is important, and she realizes that when he looks at her, what he sees must be pleasing in his sight. I use this as my example for prayer when I approach our Heavenly Father. I know when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. But as I go through the request process, I am forced to recognize who it is I am asking, that he is the ruler of the universe. I acknowledge that his will is all that matters because he can see everything and he has a plan that he's allowing me to participate in. And I also know that he wants me to bring my desires to him because he cares about what I care about, just like King Xerxes cared about Esther's concerns. I examine my motives, I make sure they align with the mind and the heart of God, as I've seen borne out in Scripture, and I examine myself. I repent of anything that is not pleasing in his sight, and then I rest in knowing he sees me washed in the blood of his dear Son and in his righteousness. Today's reflection question asks you, are you seeing God work in your life to bring you to total trust in his goodness and his love for you? Are there areas where fear of man or of circumstances still have a hold? Can you bring your fears to God in prayer? If you feel comfortable, write your prayer in the comments box. May God richly bless you as you seek his will for your life and as you rest in his all-encompassing love for you.